This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section and the headlines from the lead section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 24th, 2020. Here are the comments from today's hits and takes section of JLN. The biggest story of the day, reported by every major news organization, is President Trump's declining to commit to a peaceful transfer of power after the election. This spells trouble for democracy and for the markets. The markets have been telling us to expect volatility up to and after the election. Trump yesterday even said a new Supreme Court judge is needed to be confirmed to replace the notorious RBG so the election could be decided by the court and not a 4-4 tie. If you don't know how to trade options, now would be a good time to learn to help you protect your portfolio or to speculate if that is your cup of tea. Cargill Incorporated was fined $500,000 by the CME Group for violating rules about engaging in conduct or proceedings inconsistent with just and equitable principles of trade and committing an act which is detrimental to the interest or welfare of the exchange or to engage in any conduct which tends to impair the integrity or good name of the exchange. The violations involved a grain merchant's actions regarding the soft red winter wheat market. We finally published the second installation of the Path to Electronic Trading series, an interview with Dan Gramza. Dan was very involved with helping SGX traders transition from the floor to the screen. He tells his story and then how he helped the SGX traders. Our friends at CQG are our sponsor for this episode with Gramza. Yesterday was my 31st wedding anniversary. On September 23rd, 1989, Cheryl Lee Howard became Cheryl Lothian. For our honeymoon, we did the Circle Tour of Lake Michigan and stayed a couple of nights up on Mackinac Island in Michigan and then in Sister Bay in Wisconsin. For our 31st anniversary, I convinced my wife to go camping. Cheryl has not camped since our kids were in Cub Scouts, so this is a major victory and opportunity. Here's a comment from Suzanne Cosgrove of JLN. The SEC's approval of a series of amendments Wednesday to its whistleblower program did not go down well with all parties concerned, according to Compliance Week and other publications. Democratic Commissioners Allison Herron Lee and Carolyn Crenshaw, who joined the commission in August, voted no to an amendment that addressed the agency's evaluation of large awards. The SEC discarded a proposal to allow staff to reduce awards of more than $30 million after outcry from whistleblower advocates. Here are some more stories from today's first read section of JLN. From CNN, stocks perform better when a Democrat is in the White House. History proves it. President Donald Trump has warned of economic and financial Armageddon if Joe Biden and the Democrats retake the White House next year. But history paints a different story. Both the stock market and the real economy tend to do better when Democrats, not Republicans, are in charge. From Bloomberg, how an Amazon bribery scheme became a $100 million swindle. It sounds like the plot of a made-for-Netflix crime drama. A Brooklyn businessman stuffs $8,000 in cash in a suitcase and calls an Uber to send it to accomplices. Hundreds of thousands of dollars crisscross the globe via MoneyGram, PayPal, and foreign bank accounts in a plot to swindle more than $100 million from the world's most valuable internet retailer and its customers. From CNBC, CDC director says more than 90% of Americans remain susceptible to the coronavirus. A majority of the U.S. remains susceptible to a coronavirus infection, Dr. Robert Redfield, director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, told lawmakers on Wednesday. More from Bloomberg. airlines face desolate future as attempts to reopen crumble. With no return to normal in sight, they are desperate to cut costs and raise financing. Airlines have felt the pain of the coronavirus pandemic more than other companies. Almost overnight, the bulk of their business ceased. But in mid-2020, there was at least hope that COVID-19 might not be as virulent as first thought. That warmer months would bring some respite, that travel corridors, agreements allowing passengers to fly between countries without quarantine, might get people back in the air. Also from Bloomberg, the most important climate pledges aren't the splashy ones. It's Climate Week in New York, which brings with it a raft of announcements from companies outlining their new decarbonization targets and clean investment strategies. Some of the declarations are hefty, like Walmart Inc.'s plan to reach zero emissions across its global operations in 20 years without relying on carbon offsets. Others, like Morgan Stanley's commitment to reach a new net zero finance emissions by 2050, are long dated and light on details. Then there's General Electric's pledge to stop supplying equipment to new coal-fired power plants 138 years after its founder, Thomas Edison, built the first coal power generating station in Lower Manhattan. GE won't be entirely out of the industry it created. It'll still supply and service the existing coal plant fleet, but it won't service its growth. Here are the top three read most stories from yesterday's JLN. The most read story Wednesday was Crane Chicago businesses. The chiefs of CBOE and CME have a warning for City Hall. The warning is basically, if you tax our financial transactions, we're out of here. Second was John Lothian News's USA versus Vorley and Chanu, DOJ looking for conviction against spoofers. Tom Thompson's continued coverage of the spoofing trial taking place in Chicago. Third was the Financial Times Singapore and India exchanges and dispute over derivatives about the SGX's NSE Nifty 50 index futures. Here are the headlines from today's lead section of JLN. From Bloomberg, JP Morgan is set to pay $1 billion in record spoofing penalty. Settlement would end Justice Department and regulators probes investigations focused on precious metals and treasury securities. From CNN Business, Westpac, one of Australia's largest banks, hit with record $920 million penalty over money laundering scandal. And from the Wall Street Journal, peak oil is already shifting markets. Prospects of falling demand for crude could unleash a long-term scramble between rival producer nations. Here is more from Bloomberg. New York City commercial property crisis signals hazards for local banks. New York Community Bancorp, Signature, confront downturn. Biggest threat is from retail real estate loans, analysts say. This bout of stock market angst looks much darker. We've gone from correcting excess to questioning the basic assumptions of a pandemic recovery that underpinned the rally. Wall Street's penchant for London remains even as Brexit nears. U.S. banks moved small share of assets by end of 2019. Greater shift could start happening in the coming months. HSBC loyalists lose faith after stock's $83 billion plunge. China risk money laundering report add to list of troubles. You want shares to recover? Don't even think about it. Snowflake's record debut raises questions about the IPO model. A look at the debate among Bloomberg editors over the significance of the cloud computing company's market splash. Trading by phone holds back Korea's $52 billion FX market. Exporters and asset managers handle FX deals via phone chats. Companies say the system is too slow and lacks transparency. Here's more from the Wall Street Journal. JP Morgan nears a deal to pay about $1 billion to settle spoofing probes. Authorities target illicit practices of submitting misleading orders to exchanges. Banks are loving 2020 market, but market doesn't love them back. While investors are still sour on bank stocks, industry executives say parts of the business are booming. Here are some stories from the Financial Times. Working from home may be a bigger test for City of London than Brexit. Work from home bears down on the square mile. Tesco chief urges shoppers to stay calm. COVID-19 has exposed the world's fragile, complex food supply chains. Disrupted distribution has amplified concerns about the ethics and ecology of what we eat. Madrid versus New York, a tale of two cities during the COVID-19. They were epicenters of the pandemic, but differing approaches to easing lockdown have seen their fortunes diverge. Switzerland ready to hold down franc with sharper intervention. Country's haven currency under intense upward pressure due to COVID-19 crisis. Here's another story from CNN Business. Wells Fargo CEO apologizes for saying black talent pool is limited. Here's a story from CoinDesk. Robinhood raises cool $660 million in extended funding round. And lastly, from MarketWatch, the U.S. behaved like a gangster to rob TikTok from China, and Beijing has no reason to approve the deal, says Chinese media. Here are the MarketsWiki stats for today. The sites had 188,639,238 pages viewed. It has a total of 24,432 pages, and it has had 226,085 edits. Have a great day, and stay safe, and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.